last Sunday of the year. Can you believe it? This year went quick. I know we have some guests today, so thank you for coming. If this is not your normal house of worship, we welcome you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Those of you that call this home, welcome to the last Sunday of the year and the first Sunday of the rest of your life. How about that? That's corny, but it's true, right? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We're asking you, oh God, to have your way today. Have your way. You are why we are here. You're the reason. You are why we've gathered. You're the most important guest here. And we're giving you permission to have your way, to do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you agree with that? Amen. I had so much stuff going through me the last couple of weeks, really for the last month, but this last week, wow, it's been crazy. I have such an expectation of what's to come. I have such great expectation for what is come. That's here right now, what the Lord is doing right now, this day. And so I hope you press in today. Press in. Press in. Lean into God. Put a demand on him. Put a demand. Don't demand him to hurry up and get over. Demand that he speak to you personally. To you personally. Ask and it will be given. Right? So ask. You have not because you ask not. Say this with me. Say, Father, speak to me by your word, by your Holy Spirit, by those around me, in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that and you really mean it, I believe he's going to do that. I want to give you an update on our building situation. Our guests may not know, but this building has sold, was owned by the city, and we've met with our new owners, and great. They seem like great people and seem to have great hearts, and at the same time, they're businessmen and have a sense that they can make more money off this building than what the city did. And I think that would not be an understatement at all. The city was built to really designed to run a city, not to landlord a building. And they struggled in that area. And so our new owners are hoping to do better at that. But the result of that is they are not wanting to renew our lease at the end of May. And which is fine because we've had a killer deal of a lease. We actually had to pursue them. When we first started Lyft over five years ago now, they let us use this space for free. Now, that's favor, isn't it? And the day came when I felt that we needed to move from takers to givers. And so I pursued the city and they finally came back with a lease. It was not a quick process. They came back with the lease, and then I looked at it, and I said, whoa, that's too much. So we negotiated, and we negotiated a great deal that's been an escalating deal. You didn't know this, perhaps, but every June, our monthly payment would go up by $1,000 for the rest of that year, and then the next June, it'd go up another $1,000 a month. And then when they announced that they were going to sell the building, I said, hey, let's talk. Because I wanted to negotiate again. And we did. And at that point, it went from $1,000 a month annually to $500 a month annually. And they said, we're not going to do the increase for this whole next year. So think about that. I'm sitting there thinking of this, and I hear, we're not going up $1,000 for 12 months. $18,000 we just saved. Oh, it's only going up 500 when it does go up, not 1,000. That's six more $1,000, right? So that's how I got 18. 12,000 plus 6,000. I know, you were saying his math's really bad. And as I signed this 2017, as I signed this addendum to our lease, it wasn't a new lease, it was an addendum to our lease. They said they didn't want to do a new lease. Too many people had to be involved. And I'm saying, well, yeah, amen. Let's do the Let's do the better route. As I signed it, and I prayed for the guy that was working with me, because I was actually able to pastorally counsel with him on some things as well. As I signed it, set the pen down, he left my office, which is here in our space, and he left the office, and I sat down in my chair, and I laughed a hearty, hearty laugh. Hearty laugh. And it wasn't a laugh of, oh, thank God we saved $18,000. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. It was a hearty, hearty laugh of, oh, God, what are you up to? So I have to be honest with you. I'm quite shocked that we're still here 2 years later. That is shocking to me. And yet I'm okay with being here for two more years if that would be the case that would happen. I mean, I'd love to get rid of this pillar. But at the same time, I want to make a commitment to you that we are following the cloud by day and the fire by night, and we are going to step into what God has for us, and we're going to do our very, very best not to manhandle this thing and let him do what he wants to do, because in the natural, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because everything we've looked at has either been extremely expensive for whatever reason and really not workable. So God's going to do something. I know that he is. I need you to know that he is. I need you to press in and believe that God is really going to do something. And and we're going to say, it had to be God. It wasn't us. Right? Would you do that with me? I hope so, because I think that's how we're supposed to start the new year. As a matter of fact, I hear the Lord saying that this year, this transition is going to be a time of refining and defining what he's doing. You know, they take crude oil out of the ground. They pump it. They pump it out, and it's just black. You older folks have seen the Beverly Hillbillies. You know how that went. Black gold, Texas tea, right? And so this out of this, they're able to refine it into a multiple of uses. I want you to know something. We're not crude oil anymore. We might have been at the beginning, but we're not now. We already have been refined, and God has already been in the defining mode for us, but there's more to come. There's more to come. There is a transition for us to come, a metamorphosis for us to come. There is a deliverance for many of us to come for this year. And I want you to set your expectation high. As a matter of fact, I believe that's a word of the Lord for us, a refining and a defining of what he is doing. And today I want to talk to you out of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, starting with chapter 5, verse 27. I'll put it up for you because you may not have your scroll or your Bible or your phone out because you're spiritual. You don't want to have your phone out. Although I saw Chris on Facebook a minute ago. I only know that because I was on there. We both like the same thing. We think alike. The Gospel of Luke, starting in verse 5. Now, what you need to know is that Jesus has healed a leper. There's been miracles going on before this happened. And then it says this. After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." That's, if I had a title today, that would be my title. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Let me tell you a little bit of something about tax collectors. Scum of the earth. And even back then, that was bad. Sorry if you work with the IRS. No, they were. Here's how that kind of worked. They would, under the authority of the Romans, who wanted the taxes, right? They were the ones wanting the taxes. They would define an area and say, this is how much this area cost. And then they would give it to the highest bidder who wanted to be the collector of that amount. And anything over that amount, they got to keep. And there's nothing wrong with that system, right? Think about it. Anything over what was defined, they got to keep. Now, you know that that's fraught with injustice, right? I mean, come on. There were multiple kinds of taxes. There were actually two kinds. There was like the poll tax. Everybody had to pay. If you were breathing, you had to pay it. It was an I'm alive tax, okay? And then there was land tax. 10% of all your grain, of all your increase of the land, that was a tax. It wasn't a tithe, it was a tax, okay? Some of you say, well, tithe's a tax. No, it's not. A tithe is your giving back to God. It's you giving to God what he has already declared is his. Think about it. It's not yours, okay? That's the tithe. Then the other was 1%, that was sales tax. Just sales tax. Sales tax for whatever. I'm not even sure how that was even defined. That was just the first group. But the second group was where where it got wealthy for the tax collectors. Because in that tax bracket, they could tax you for anything. Anything. They could tax your cart per wheel. Oh, you have four wheels, then therefore you owe me this amount. They could arbitrarily take whatever they wanted. But you know what? If you didn't have it, they would be happy to loan it to you at exorbitant rates. And they found that in doing those types of processes, occasionally you needed to align yourself with some muscle, with some goons that could help you enforce what you were doing. So it's fair to say the tax collectors were at the bottom of the likability scale for their time, okay? As a matter of fact, they couldn't be witnesses in a court. That's how trustworthy they were. That's crazy, isn't it? And Jesus went out, noticed the tax collector. As far as I know, he'd seen him before, because this particular tax collector was often on the fringes of the crowds where Jesus was speaking. He may even had a discussion with him before. I don't know. But on this day, it says he went out and noticed a tax collector. Your Bible may say saw. This is the New American Standard. Say saw. But the actual root meaning, the deep meaning of that is he looked at for a long time. He discerned for a long time. Levi might have been a little bit nervous. You've seen that look before, right? You know the look where you catch an eye with somebody and you both go, oh, I'll look away. Then there's that look where you look at someone and they're beaming a hole through the back of your head by looking at you. And you're like, what is that? What do they want? That's the kind of look Jesus had for Levi. So I'm sitting there and what does he want? What does he want from me? And Jesus says, follow me. Pretty profound request, actually. Did you know he's still saying that to you and I? Follow me. And here's what Levi did. I don't know what you're going to do or what you have done or what you plan to do after you leave here, but here's what Levi did. He left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Okay, so this is Bible 101, Pastor Randy. What? Give me something I didn't know. Well, you might not have known this, that after that, he had a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of other tax collectors, imagine that, and other people who were reclining at the table with them. You see, Levi was quite wealthy. Wonder how he got that wealth? From an honest day's stealing, right? That's how he got it. Now, I want you to also understand, he threw a big reception. He spent his money. There was some change that had happened in him that was beyond just, okay, I'll follow you. He left his life. He probably went back and, you know, cleaned up, you know, whatever loose ties he had. But when he left that, listen, when you leave the tax collector's business, there's no coming back. You can be a fisherman and you can follow Jesus for a while and then you can go back to be a fisherman. And we know that because some of the disciples did that. Until Jesus was resurrected. Not with the tax collector. You're in or you're out. And when you're out, you're out. You're out, out, out. He went on and had a giant feast with other tax collectors. I want you to understand something. We are a small church in the world standards, but we are a large-hearted body of believers. And we have far more feasting inside of us than what we realize we're capable of. Because it's just easier. My four, no more. But as we move into a new year, a new time, a new focus, a new way, not worrying about where we're going to meet, but rejoicing over the fact that we're going to meet. And that the place is not the point. But the fact that we're going to meet is the point. And as we begin to, once again, like we sang today, come back to our first love of why we're even meeting in the first place and realize that what we have inside of us, who we have inside of us, is a feast for a world around us. And the best part is God didn't expect you to do it on your own. He said, hey, I'll be with you. Just the same eyes that he looked at you and had compassion and love and care and saw the diamond in the rough, saw the refined product in your black gold. He's seeking the same thing through our eyes to those around us. Levi had a feast, spent a lot of money. Guess who he invited? All of his friends that needed to hear what Jesus had to say. He didn't want to preach at them. He didn't want to have to hand out pamphlets or tracts, go out on the street. He just invited those people that were close to him. And I'm not telling you to invite people to church. I'm asking you to be the church and get into people's lives that God has put in your path, that you have influence over. Recline at the feasting table God has placed you at and let Jesus be who he is through you. Of course, the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners? You see, the Pharisees had come to a place over years and years and years of becoming legalized to where they had forgotten that the relationship that God the Father tried to bring through the temple, through the priest, through the worship, through the Sabbath, was about people and not about things. They'd come to a place to where they were more concerned about their holiness than they were about anyone's redemption. I don't even know redemption was even a part of their vocabulary anymore. But Jesus had an answer. He always has an answer. This is a great answer. Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. That was Jesus' way of saying, you're sick. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yeah, call them sinners. Get a hold of them sinners. Call them to repentance. I think an appropriate verse for you and I right now would be, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and behold, the log is in your own eye? Okay, get stronger. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly, take the speck out of your brother's eye. There is a balance in between, and it most of the time involves you shutting your mouth and opening your heart. I was talking with somebody yesterday, talking about prophecy. And we believe in prophecy here. And we have prophetic words that happen here all the time. And I just made this proclamation about myself. This is about myself. For me, when I get a prophetic word, almost 99% of the time, my response should be, shut your mouth. Because I have a tendency of adding me to whatever God is saying. When God gives me a word, it's good for me to just wait. Wait and let him do with that what he wants to do. And he'll confirm things. He'll do things. I want to be a prophetic church, but I also want to be a church that lets God prophesy. prophesy through us and not just our eagerness. Add to. We're an add to kind of people, aren't we? I am, at least. Back to Luke 5:36. He says this. Back to Luke. And he was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. I skipped a few verses. There was a movement of hearing what Jesus had to say and saying, that sounds pretty good. That's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Let me take this part that I really like and add it to what I really believe, because this is my core. This sounds good. I'm going to add that. That's a good patch. I like that part, but this part over here, I'm still hanging on. When Kelly and I both heard from the Lord separately about starting a church, we've pretty well freaked out about that. And one of the things, the very first things that we, when we said, okay, yes, we'll do that. One of the very, very, very first things that we said, because what are we? Who are we? We don't have any people, no money, no, none of that stuff. What, all the things, the natural things, which is not what a church is, by the way. We said, but what do we, and the very first thing that the Lord put on us was, remember the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, him. Because I got to be honest with you. I'd been a minister, a paid minister for years and years and years in several churches that were Spirit-filled, and you'd never know it. I mean, just the word, the semantic of Spirit-filled just kind of gives me the creeps, because people try to twist things all around. But I want you to know something. What about Holy Spirit? What about him? Are we just going to take this little piece and add it to what we believe, what we've always believed? Because all of you come from different backgrounds. You come from different denominations. Some of you don't even have a background spiritual-wise. Are we just going to add that one little piece that we like? Oh, I like to worship. Oh, like when Pastor Randy tells a joke. Or are you ready to go all in? Are you ready to do what Jesus said when he says, follow me? He goes on to say this. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. They used to skin a goat, and they would try to do their best to keep it intact, the best that they could. Then they would tan it, so it's like one piece. Then they would tan it a little bit to give it a little bit of rigidity, but also some flexibility. Then they would sew it, and that's what they would put new wine in, because new wine would ferment and would expand, and it would not bust or burst the container. There is a new wine, but it's an old wine. His name is Holy Spirit. And I say to you again, what about Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Because we have God the Father. We have God the Son and Jesus. And then he died, just like he said he was going to. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He rose again, showed himself, plain and simple. Hundreds of other people came out back from the dead and showed themselves. It was a verifiable miracle. And he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But wait, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to be with you always. Go and make disciples, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and spread this gospel. And I will send you a promise. It's my promise. His name is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God Almighty came to this earth on the day of Pentecost. And every believer since that day, every believer since that day, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The very Spirit of God. And on this Sunday, the last Sunday of 2019, with 2020 coming this Wednesday, I have a question. What about Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with this fact that He lives inside of you? My brain can't even contain the fact that the God Almighty, Father God, the creator of the universe, lives inside of me with my yuck. He knows it all. How can I even fathom that? Unfortunately, some people can't. Look at the next verse. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Not that one. The next verse. Verse 39. And no one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. Unfortunately, there are people that they're content with what they've had. And I want you to know that as the pastor of this house, I am not content with what I've had. I am not content with where I've been. I am not content with everything God has done to this moment. I am only seeking what He has for right now and for the days to come. And I firmly believe we have to answer that question of what do we do with Holy Spirit. First Corinthians 2:9 says this, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of a man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. You want to see things you haven't seen? You want to hear things you haven't heard? Do you want all that God has prepared for you because He loves you? Do you want that? For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. This is the word, folks. I'm reading you the word, and it's cutting sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's going deeper than the marrow of your bone. What are you going to do with Holy Spirit? Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. I am trying to raise your appraisal attitude to spiritually appraise what I'm saying to you. And what does it mean to you individually? What does this mean to you? What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit of God Almighty who lives inside of you? What are you going to do? But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Here's the best part. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Christ is not Jesus's last name. Christ, you could interchange the anointed one, the anointing, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of the anointed one, the anointing, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit in 2020, in 2019, today? What are you going to do? There's a song. We're not going to sing it. I'll just tell you, we're not going to sing it. But it's called New Wine. It says, in the crushing, in the pressing, you're making new wine. In the soil, I now surrender. You're breaking new ground. So I yield to you and your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. That's the problem right there, isn't it? You need to understand. That's why you don't have your prayer language. Because you don't understand. I got to understand. I need to understand what's going on. Your head would explode if you understood everything you would like to understand. God's not calling us into some kind of blind thing either. I watched this series called See, where they're blind. It's in the future. It's a future apocalyptic type of thing. And they're blind. They've lost their vision. And then a couple of babies are born that have vision, and everyone fears them because that's obviously what got us in this place in the first place, was vision, right? And so I say all that to say this. You've heard the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees. Oh, you can see it. You just don't understand it. And therefore, you set it over here. What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, me included, we need to be praying in our spirit language like we never have. Well, I don't have my spirit language. You need to ask someone to help you pray. We'll pray with you. God's not holding out on you. He's not holding out on you. And he's not flaky and he's not goofy. I know I'm a little goofy, but he's not. And there's some warfare. We sit here and say, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. And this is part of our warfare, is in praise and worship. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best warfare you're going to do is going to be in tongues. It's going to be while you're praying in the spirit. And you're not involved because, see, you kind of get in the way. I do. As a matter of fact, the only time my mind actually rests in the natural is when I'm praying in the spirit. Because I have dreams. Thank you, Tabby. I have dreams like crazy. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't. But I'm working. I'm on. This boy's on all the time until I pass out in the recliner. That happens too. But even then, I'm dreaming something until I wake myself up snoring. So I yield to you and your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Pastor Grant had a great message about that not too long ago, about not understanding a word. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. It's in there. There's new wine for you and I. Forget 2019. You can't change a thing that happened. Forget 2020. It's going to take care of itself. I'm asking you to step into the now with me. And I'm asking, what are you going to do with Holy Spirit? Is he your comforter? Is he the one called alongside of you? Is he reminding you of every word that Jesus said? These are all the things that Jesus said he would do. Is he bringing peace? When you got no room for peace, my world's falling apart. Is he giving you the rest that the Bible says is our God faith rest? Is that happening in your life? It can. And it's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, my peace I give, and it's peace that the world doesn't have. It's peace that the world doesn't have. Listen, you can learn all about Christianity. You can learn all about love. You can learn all about different religions right down at the Barnes & Noble. What they don't have is Holy Spirit. Oh, he's there because there's some believers there. But there's some believers there that they're content with the old wine. You know, you can ask just about anybody on the street. You used to be able to. I don't know if you can now, but you used to be able to say, do you have a church? They go, oh, yeah, I got a church. They haven't been in forever. But they got one because they're embarrassed. They don't want to say they don't have one. Nowadays, some people say, no, I sure don't. That's a crazy superstition thing. But I'm telling you, it's the power of God living inside of you by Holy Spirit. And he wants to have some room. You've heard this saying before, that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. No, he's not. He's the Spirit of the living God. He's not a gentleman at all. He is, you're all in awe. He is Jesus in you, Christ in you, the anointed one in you, your hope of glory, your only hope of glory. And it goes on to say, because where there's new wine, there's new power. There's a new freedom. And the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. That is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for you, that you won't wait until January 1, 2020. But on this day, December 29th, 2019, you will say, make me your vessel. You will say, I lay down my old flames to pick up your new fire. You would say, Holy Spirit, I've heard this. I believe this. Now, would you have your way? We pray this so much here. I'm asking you to actually believe it. Believe it. And let's watch and see what God does. You watch him break through and bring breakthrough. You're in the middle of your mess and you're praying in the spirit. You don't know what it's for. And then you get that call. Somebody else over has had a breakthrough. It's because you were praying. There used to be a show that said, weakest link. You are the weakest link in this whole process. And that's great. Because in my weakness, he is strong. So admit it. Let's walk in the strength and power. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bring conviction, not condemnation. Not condemnation, but convict us where we have said this much, but no more. You can have all of this, but not this. I'm content with the old wine. It tastes pretty good to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. You would not have come to live inside of each one of us if we didn't need you desperately. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself in a tangible, real way to each person listening to me. May they never be content to walk alone again. But they say, yes, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Actually have your way in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.